Welcome to Clocker Counter. I'm Ryan Young, and with me is James Wiseman. So today we're going to do move review, and the move we're doing today is Juice. I know it's one of your favorites. It's also our first against move. And first, let's just go over what a juice is. So it's a pull, it's against, and it's like, imagine you're standing over a stream and your legs are apart and you're bending over to like pick something up out of the stream. That's how your legs are. And the disc, we're going to say it's clock. You're going to pull it left hand under your left leg, kind of from behind you. So it's like a lacer, but it's a pull and it's against. So right off the bat, what is your coolness rating? I know it's going to be completely biased, but let's start with your 1 to 10.
I actually have really mixed feelings about juice, and my love for it has ebbed and flowed over time. But I think the real problem is I've been raised to dislike juice, but my instinct personally is that juice has really a lot of amazing potential in use cases. So I think the problem is that a lot of people, especially in New York, including my beloved Dougie Fresh, dislike juice most of the time in general. I'll even say that to some degree, they also dislike laser pulls. I think Joey sometimes calls the laser pull the hate pull. And I don't know, I don't know the background on that, but I believe it's a pejorative term.
Okay.
And I think the problem people have with the laser and juice pull, which I completely share, is most of the time when people do it, they have both legs planted and they're kind of squatting on the ground to do the pull. And it's the squatting crab stance aspect of it that people take offense to, which I totally understand. But fortunately, there's a very easy way to solve that, which is you lift the leg that you are not pulling from. So if it's a clock juice, left hand, left leg, you would extend out your right leg almost like you're doing a flamingo. And I think that fixes the body aesthetics of it and turns it into something quite beautiful. And I know at least Dougie Fresh, once I made that change, pretty late in my career, unfortunately, like 2017, 2018, he became much more tolerant of the juice. So,
I have seen you do that. I didn't know that was the reason for it. I just was like, oh, I thought that was a stylistic choice.
Well, I mean, it is a stylistic choice, but it was my response. I'm sure people did it before I did it, but
I didn't know you thought it was an improvement. I just thought it was like you were bored of the other juice.
Yeah, I view it as an improvement. I do agree that it, at least in my opinion, looks a lot better that way. I think it's a lot harder that way too. Most people's instinct is actually to lift the leg that they're pulling from, which actually is even worse than the planted two-leg squatting.
And in dance, we call that the dog peeing on the hydrant, the fire hydrant.
Yes. Pose. So lots of people do a juice dog peeing style. And even I have to do that sometimes in a emergency. I can't say I do that much anymore, but I'm sure I've done it in the last 4 years. So I feel like when we talk about it, I'll kind of have to like distinguish between these different types of juices, because I do think they have very different factors. But if I take the kind of preferred juice, the perfect juice, we'll kind of do what we did with Guidus, where we delineate the different types. The perfect juice, I think, has a 8 or 9 coolness rating in my mind. And what I love about the juice is that there's sort of a magic trick to it. And it'll be a little bit hard to explain over audio, but imagine doing a juice upside down. What the disc does is so cool. It's sort of, you process the disc just so that it goes from a slight angle to flat in such a way that you don't even need to touch the rim. It's just such an incredible demonstration of control and disc mechanics. And it has this visual swirl almost as the disc flattens out in the precession.
That's your golden ratio.
Yes. And then it comes up. Yeah, it's a snail, right? The snail ratio. It comes out and this perfect, flat, usable form. And there is actually a wide variety of things you can do with it. You can juice straight into a kind of opposite hand pull for spinning catches. I mean, I think it's really cool. And I remember the first time I saw juice, of all players, was Zanardi Faustini was visiting from Italy in 2010. It might have even, yeah, I mean, early 2010. So I've been playing 6 or 7 months, and I saw him do a juice, and I think it was one of the first, if not the first against move that I really registered in my brain. I don't really know how to describe it, where I saw that and I was like, that's something that kind of blows my mind and I don't really understand the mechanics of that. And I remember trying it and just having no clue where to even begin. And I'm not even sure someone explained to me that that was against or what that meant, because I have another distinct memory of Ofek and Orin showing me some basic against stuff, more like skid or crank, and 6 months later. So based on that happening and me knowing like that is what against is, I don't even think I really totally understood what was happening. But I have, that's one of the few memories I have of seeing a move for the first time and saying it was this person. We were on the meadow. I could, if you sent me back there, I could put a chalk body outline of where Zanardi was and where I was. And I just thought it was really cool. But I don't really want to be associated with loving juice. I truly do internalize some of the biases against it. But I know I'm known for doing that. I have another distinct memory because it was kind of something I was embarrassed by, of sitting with Graf at like a dinner at some tournament and him just sort of like pointing to me and being like, James can juice anything. And on the one hand, I was like proud of that. On the other hand, I was like, yeah, but I don't want to be the juice guy. I know that a lot of people don't like it. So don't pin that on me.
I think most people would consider that a compliment. That's like a badge, an achievement to be the juice guy.
It is a compliment. And I'm not trying to, I don't know what the word is, like Trojan horse something someone complimented me on into the podcast. But truly, I'm just telling you, I felt both pride and embarrassment at the same time because of this mixed sense. To put a kind of weird spin on it, and I feel bad because Dougie is my idol. He is my other father. I love him dearly. I do think no father is perfect, and I think I have inherited his prejudices, and I want my dad to be proud. And so to be associated with juice, it's like disappointing to Dougie. And I, you know, that I think that's where the inner conflict comes from. I don't want to disappoint him.
There's childhood trauma associated.
Exactly. With juice. Like that's the trauma he inflicted on me. But where do you put it on the coolness rating?
I think it's like a 6. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yep. There are memorable juices, but there are memorable everythings.
Yeah, I mean, when I step back, I get it. I mean, it's an underleg pull. It's not, there's nothing that cool to write home about it. And I do think, honestly, with Will lately, although again, I haven't really been playing lately, with Will, we're doing kind of next level things that sort of go away from or build from the juice that make the juice seem super quaint. Again, that sounds sort of weird and braggy, but I just mean, like, I think Will literally sent me a juice Osus video yesterday, and I was just kind of like, yeah, juice, like, whatever. You do way cooler stuff than that now. So it's like kind of weird for me to give it a 8 or a 9. But I think when I've talked before about moves that are kind of negative, neutral, or positive, I think it's such a great flavor enhancer. It's such a great salt. You can just, an unexpected juice in the middle of a combo is so nice. I mean, I think it's not a standalone move, really. There's no reason to build a co-op where the main ingredient is a juice. But when juice comes in, when you're not looking for it, that's when it has such an aesthetic appeal to me of like, there was no spin left. I thought you were done with all your pulls. And suddenly you pull out this juice. And when I was starting to say earlier that the juice leads into all these interesting things, I think one of the best things about juice is it lends itself so nicely to go back into the flat game. Like, juice ultimately is one of the flattest pulls that you can do that's still a pull. And going into the flat game after a bunch of pulls and you don't have a lot of spin, that's where you see the control. And that's where we get back to the magic trick of not just the magic of the pull itself, because you can do it with so little spin and just really like watch it slowly process flat. But once you pull it out and you're just watching the disc spinning again flat, maybe so slow that you can read the nicks and crannies at the edge of the disc, to me, that's just really cool. And I don't know, I just always been drawn to it.
Cool. How hard do you think it is to learn juice?
It depends where you're starting from, because I think from my experience where I just saw it and I didn't really know what to do against yet, and that was a very foreign concept, it was basically impossible. I didn't even really know where to begin. It's just sort of like you're setting it and trying to pull it out from under that leg, and there's just no way to do it. Because one kind of underappreciated aspect of its difficulty is the initial set for it is very counterintuitive. Now, obviously, once you get really good at juice, you know, you can juice anything off of like any angle. But the kind of textbook pre-built juice is you do this very weird non-rim based procession based set that you don't use for that many things. And that itself is a very against skill. Mm-hmm. And then you have to pull it again. So those two things are really difficult conceptually. If you,
do you have a name for that? I was just talking to people in Poland about it, and everyone has a different name for that procession-y.
What do they call it?
They call, so it's like the movement you use at the start of a neuron turnover, but they call it rocking the baby.
Oh, I like that. I can see that. That makes sense. You know, it's funny to do a classic digression of mine. You know how some languages, especially in early stages, they're always built on analogy or example? I mean, our language is still like that. Like German's a lot like that, as I understand it. It was like, what's a train? Just combined all the words that make it up and to be like, I don't know what the word really is, but it's like car attached to itself moving on rail or something. I feel like for as much freestyle as I do, there's still so many things that are unnamed or things that I don't really know what other people have called them. But now that I have someone like Will, we're really talking about the intricacies all the time. So much of our conversation is, it's like a juice, and then you do this, which is like that other thing. And it's all analogy and example to explain what you're trying to do. And it actually works really effectively. I'm like, well, I'm not going to use that example. It wouldn't be very good. But it's a cool little linguistic thing that I like about freestyle. But it's nice to know that it has a name. And even rocking a baby is a analogy type name, even if it isn't self-reflective of freestyle itself. But that makes sense. And it would, I'll probably start using that because I understand immediately where the idea of calling it that comes from, and it is a set that has utility for lots of different kinds of pulls that there's no other really good way to set for them.
All right, I derailed you. So you're talking about how the set is all is like peculiar.
Oh,
and
yeah,
learn that first.
Yeah, talking about how to learn it. I think if you have a facility with that set or you know a lot about against, it probably isn't that hard to learn. You can also, especially if you know that set, give yourself very extreme angles so that you can juice it quite easily. But that juice, I think, is less aesthetic and it puts you in an awkward position. Like once you've juiced it at that extreme angle, you still have a pretty extreme angle and it's an extreme angle and kind of a weird part with respect to your body. It's that's really hard to explain over audio.
I know what you mean. You it's have a weird like part of the procession. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like at a hard angle and you're in a weird part in relation to your body and there's not a lot of awesome places to go. And you've probably killed a lot of the spin to do it. But at least conceptually you can learn the juice that way because you can get the feeling of pulling it through like that. Yeah. I mean, I think it is surprisingly hard, but I also think it's in a category of once you have it down, a base juice is going to be pretty easy. But then the question is, can you juice anything? And I got that skill or idea from Matt. Just watching Matt just out of nowhere do it. And you really, it's the goal is to do it so flat. When you just do it flat and slow, it's like time slows down when you do it well. And I know there are juice haters out there, but I wish I could just put up examples of times where I saw a juice where I thought, that's a magic trick, and I wish people could appreciate it. But it's so rare that you see it. I can't really think of many modern players who are ever doing it the way I envisioned it in my head, where I would see Matt do it off of the most unexpected set or situation. But that, I think, is a lifetime skill to get to the point where you can juice anything in that way.
I see. The master juice.
Yeah.
What would you give it in competition, the baseline juice diff?
It's probably like a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I always hate this question, right? Because it's so hard to answer in the abstract. And I'll give my usual caveats that it would depend on what round we're in, like the level of skill I expect in that round. Depends what's built around it. But kind of if you just, I think maybe one way to kind of talk about judging or like giving individual move scores is going back to my concept of neutral, positive, negative moves. Assuming all the other moves are neutral, so they don't really move your score up or down. You just have a juice standing by itself. I think juice is pretty neutral itself. So it's going to be in kind of like the 5 or 6 range. Like it's neutral, but it shows a lot of skill. So I'm not going to give you a 3 for it, but it's not particularly impressive. But you can definitely build a combo where the juice is a centerpiece that would get you an 8, maybe a 9 in some extreme situation, but it would be hard.
Yeah. Okay. We touched on this a little bit, but what is like the utility of it, or how useful is juice?
That's where you almost have to split it into two categories. The master juice, I think, actually does have a lot of utility, but it has a lot of utility in the same way that a somewhat exotic spice might have, meaning it isn't a base ingredient. It's not high utility like beef or meat or bread or salt, like something you could put on anything or build your meal from. But it's an interesting ingredient that you can put into a lot of different combos without overly disrupting them. So for instance, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, do you think there's something better than juice in the juice window?
Yeah, they're more niche though. I think all of your standing catch poles use the same concept. A flawed pole, a flamingitis pole, a guidus pole. I mean, you can do like an against chair pole. Like all of those use the same idea. And I think standing alone, you would generally say those are harder and higher scoring or whatever than the juice bowl. But that's where, going back to my spice analogy, juice is pepper. I'm not sure it's that generic. Those other moves are more like paprika or chili. They have a lot of use cases and a lot of value, but they're so distinct that if you threw flawed poles into all of your moves, it would start to be kind of grotesque. We need a name for that, right? Like there's moves that can be repeatable in a way that's non-distracting. And there are other
rice, the white rice of...
I was thinking it's like salt versus pepper. But again, I think pepper is too useful. But it's like, is it salt or chili?
And salt or cumin.
I think it... I mean, sometimes I feel like I argue both sides of this. I have to be careful. Like sometimes I say, why are you penalizing them when everyone else does a guidus 10 times in the round and that person did something unique 10 times in the round? But on the other hand, I do think there's a point to the other side, which is don't do that super unique thing 10 times because it's too much paprika, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so variations. How many variations of juice are there? Is there just right side up and UD?
I think there's more than people think. There's a juice osis that I did in a couple of worlds that Will's working on now. It's not that hard. It's kind of interesting though. I also think how you get to juice matters so much that it is almost itself a variation. So I have a lot, I don't have lots. I have lots of things I'd like to do to get into juice that, I don't know, fire me up. So I have like a lot of, basically every invert under the leg set you can do, like indigenous, grapevine, whatever. I love doing those into the juice set. And I think they all have a very different flavor or taste. But I get that it's a little unfair to say the set gives you variation because you could obviously do that for basically anything. But I think that's where your focus is. In juice, I think it's how you get to the juice that matters more. And then now I'm being a little bit too splitting hairs too finely or something. I don't know what the right analogy is, but I do think the angle matters a lot. I think the juice can look really different depending on what angle you use. I think juice looks really different depending on which leg position you do, what we talked about before. Are you squatting? Is the nice leg up? Is the bad leg up? But there is a little more room in it than you might otherwise think.
Cool. Okay. So the last thing we talk about is who has the best juice?
Matt Gauthier. Yeah.
I knew you were going to pick that. So my pick is your juice. And I think there's one notable juice in my brain, and it's from 2019 when you're playing with Murdad, and it's counter. And after the fact, you told me you didn't know if you were going to get it or not. And most juices, the disc starts between your 2 feet. But this juice started on like the outside of your, so it was more to the right of your right foot, and you had to like invert to lay it back in into the juice.
I thought about bringing this up, but it felt too narcissistic even for me. But I, based on an episode we recorded previously, I know exactly what you're talking about. And this is one of my favorite co-ops that I've ever been a part of. And the gist of the co-op, without getting too nitty gritty, is among a bunch of other stuff we do, Graf is basically hyper bashing it a reasonably far distance to me, and I'm supposed to juice it, set it back to him. He murdy brushes it. He didn't really hyper bash it. He murdy brushed it to me another like 20 feet, and I'm supposed to juice it again. So like the main premise of the combo is sort of like a no throw, no catch thing where I keep setting it back to him. He keeps brushing it really hard, and I'm supposed to juice pull it every time. And it was really hard. We nailed it in 2019, and I was so happy about it. And it was a classic combo where when we were building it, I thought it was super cool, but I had no idea if the difficulty and concept of it would translate. But when we were doing it in front of the crowd, I could hear everyone processing it. And it was one of my favorite routine moments I've been a part of. Like, okay, people definitely get how cool this is. But I know what you mean. Like, that's the anywhere, anything, any angle juice that I put like so much work into. And that's also what enabled us to do it. Like, I've talked before in old podcasts about like any move, but it also applies to co-op. It's like, how big is the set window and how big is the catch window? And like, as you get better at moves, it's because both of those windows are getting bigger. So like Graph can set it better in worse circumstances, and I can pull it better in worse circumstances, which gives us both really big windows that makes a move that like that makes a combination like that possible, because otherwise the variability would be too high. It's like so much risk in that combo unless the setter and the puller have huge windows to work with. I probably got to explain that in a better way, but I think people get it.
Yeah. Makes sense. I think that's it for juice. So Send us comments, questions, send us the next movie you want to hear about to our email at clockercounter@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time.